I will be honest with you, I am extremely tired. I'm sure that you are also. That's the way you should feel at the end of the kindness. But I couldn't resist accepting the invitation to come here. Since it's a Kiruv seminar for B'nai Torah, I felt I needed to be in the Kuruv. And I appreciate the Kiruv. And I need the chizuk. And if I have to pay for it by speaking, no, it's worth it. I want to speak about three somewhat related topics. All of them connected, obviously, to Kiruv. Maybe not directly, but most certainly indirectly. They are all inyanim. The whole inyan of Kiruv is the quest for shleimus. Talmidei Chachamim marvim shalom ba'olam. Shalom, the Maral says, is shleimus. Perfection. We don't want perfection only for ourselves. We want to perfect those around us and bring the world to perfection. And the Rambam says, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, in the end of Hilchos Chanukah, that the entire Torah was given for one purpose. Lahavi shalom la'olam. Sheneemar drachea darchei noam v'chol nesivoseha shalom. All of the paths of Torah lead to one goal. Shalom. Shleimus. I want to speak about three somewhat related topics that have to do with the inyan of shleimus. The first is the importance of lilmod amanas lelamed. If you want to be involved in Kiruv, and Kiruv does not only apply to people who are estranged from Torah, everybody needs Kiruv. Everybody needs to be brought closer. They're closer to the Torah, they're closer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, they're closer to Klal Yisrael. None of us have reached the ultimate. We're all on a path reaching towards that. So if one has the opportunity to learn, and through learning Torah, one is ultimately, automatically brought closer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam and brought closer to Klal Yisrael, then he has a responsibility to teach others also. Very strong words of Yaakov Emden in his Perush to Pirkei Avos Lechem Shemayim. The Mishnah says, "Halo meid al menas lelamed, masikim biyodo lilmodu lelamed." The halo meid al menas lasos, masikim biyodo lilmodu lelamed, lishmo velasos. Says of Yaakov Emden, "Le lechore is another level before all of these. A person can learn in order to teach. He can learn in order lasos. Lasos doesn't mean to observe, because that goes without saying. If you learn without the intention of observing the Torah, it's better you shouldn't learn at all. Better should nefach shel yoso alpama. So that's lishmor. Lasos means to make other people observe the Torah. Some people are capable of learning in order to teach other people. Some people are capable of learning in order to make other people actually do higher madrega. But there's another madrega. Halomeid amenas lilmod. Person who learns for the sake of learning. Says with Yaakov Emden, there is no madrega of lilmod amenas lilmod. Because the Gemara says in Pesachim, according to one opinion, halomeid shelo amenas lilmod, the person who learns with the intention of not teaching others, zedval Hashem boza, that is insulting, disgracing the Torah and what it says, ki koreis, volam haza, volam haba. And therefore someone who learns with the only intention of learning for himself, with no intention of sharing it with others, that person gets no siyata d'shmaya. That's not a madrega at all, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Marshal says that in fact, that which Chazal say on the Pasuk, Adam la'omol yulad, person was created to be Omel Batorah. That's the Ikar Amelus in this world is Omel Peh. Omel Torah. Le Omel is Motrikon. Lilmod Amenas Lelameh. That's Amelus HaTorah. To learn Amenas Lelameh. So says the Marsha. The Chesed Lavrom, the grandfather of the Chidah, explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Kol Sheruach Habrios Noche Menu. רוח המקום נוחה ממנו. בכל שאין רוח הבריאוס נוחה ממנו, אין רוח המקום נוחה ממנו. The simple shot in that Mishnah, which is extremely difficult, many, many terutsin and explanations of this Mishnah, is that somebody who people like, the Rabbana Shem likes. Somebody who people don't like, the Rabbana Shem doesn't like. Very difficult if that's what it means, because there are a lot of popular people in this world who the Rabbana Shem definitely doesn't like. And there are many people who are unpopular, but they are emissary people, and the Rabbana Shem likes them. So what does it make a difference if people like you or they don't like you? Says the Chesed Lavron, it means something else completely. Kol sheruach habriyus nocheh himenu. Someone who people get nachas from, they get benefit from. A person who doesn't say, Shalom alei nafsi, I'm from, my family is from, this is his loss. And therefore, why do I have to worry about anyone else? As long as I'm taken care of, I feel secure in my Yiddishkeit, it's fine. That the person she'ein ruach habriyus nocheh himenu. That someone who doesn't benefit anyone else, only benefits himself, then ein ruach hamakom nocheh himenu. The Rabbana Shem likes people who benefit other people, not people who only benefit themselves. Chazal tell us that the world is split into three 2,000-year periods. Shnei alofim tov vavohu, shnei alofim Torah, shnei alofim yimos ha-Mashiach. When did the shnei alofim Torah begin? When did the yimos of tov vavohu end? So one could say that they surely should have started by Shem and Abram. They had yeshivas already. Noah learned Torah. Could have started way back from Noah. Yet Chazal say that the 2,000 years of Torah didn't begin until Avraham Avinu, and not when Avraham Avinu was born, that until he was 52 years old. What happened at 52? That's when Avraham Avinu began v'hanefesh asher osu b'charam. When he went out to be mashpi on other people, that's when the 2,000 years of Torah started. Seems to imply that Torah that's not al menas l'hashpi al acherim isn't called Torah. That's still tov vavohu. Just as an aside, says by Avraham Avinu, HaNefesh asher osu b'charan. Avraham Avinu made thousands of nefashas for Emunah and Hashem. Why does it say HaNefesh asher osu? It's thinking of two ideas. One is that there are many people who think that Kiruv is organizations, programs. And unless you can get to hundreds, thousands of people, you're wasting your time. That's a false idea. Avraham Avinu was successful with thousands because he was concerned about every individual nefesh. Every nefesh was important to him. And because he was important, he was concerned about every individual. Therefore, he was successful with thousands of individuals. But a person who's only concerned about thousands isn't successful with anybody. So, a nefesh asher asu b'chor. Avraham Avinu made every individual nefesh. Another idea, I think, is Avraham Avinu understood that being mashlim other people is not being mashlim them, it's being mashlim himself. There's a Me'iri in Bava Kama that says this idea. The Gemara says there that in a hesped you have to say the truth. You can exaggerate a little bit, but you can't say things that aren't true. It hurts the neshama. You know, lema emes. So the Gemara says, lomad amrina. You can say about most people in the time of Chazal that they learned Torah. That limeid lo amrina. But you can't say that they taught other people unless you know for sure they did. Says the Me'iri. That shlemus that comes from learning Torah, many people reach. Aval hashlemus shemagia la'odim al yibay limud ha'Torah. That which shlemus that a person gets from teaching others, not everybody is zocha to that. Mashma that the shlemus is a personal shlemus. Teaching other people and being the kind of other people is not only being mashlim them, it's being mashlim yourself also. And therefore, ha-nefesh asher asu b'charam. When Avraham Avinu was mashlim all those other neshamos, he looked at it as if he was mashlim himself. He made his own nefesh. Ha-nefesh asher asu b'charam was Avraham Avinu's nefesh. That's the nefesh that he made by what he did in Charam. It could be that's the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noah. The Derech Tzachus, the Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai, is Tomim Hoya B'Dorosov. Noah considered himself a torment in his generation. That's already a denial. If Avraham Avinu, in the same similar generation, Avraham Avinu recognized there are people who are not slain, then I'm not slain. I'm missing something if they're missing something. He never would have considered himself atoning in such a door. But Noah considered himself shalem if the problem is that other people aren't. And therefore it's a g'nai. That's the g'nai of Noah, that he considered himself toming the Dorosah. Mesillas Yesharim says on the Mishnah in Lamadata Torah Harabe, Al Tavzi Tova La'atzmecha, which the Pashut Shat in the Mishnah is, you learn a lot of Torah, don't take credit. But he learns a different Shat. In Lamadata Torah Harabe, you learned a lot of Torah, Al Tavzi Tova La'atzmecha, don't hold that good for yourself, don't be selfish. Kilakachno Tzarta, you were created to share that Torah with others. And that is a kiyum of Yahavta Re'acha Kamocha. The Medrash HaGadol says, Atshiyeh Kamocha B'deya. It's not only halacha that I should want for my neighbor whatever I have in Gashmias. I should want for him whatever I have in Ruchnias. If I've reached Madregas in Limud HaTorah, Madregas in Shmirat HaTorah, Nir HaShamayim, I should want my neighbor to have that too. Could be that's what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said, that he meant to say was the following. We normally think that the Ahakta Re'acha Kamocha is a cloud goggle, the Dine Mominus, in Yoni Benonim Lechadero. But the cloud goggle Batorah, it's a cloud that applies also to Torah. If I have Torah, I should want my neighbor to have Torah too. Al Tavzik Tova La'atzmecha. Don't hold the good for yourself. Don't be selfish. A special klala, and conversely a special bracha, that the Torah gives to someone who's mekayim the Torah by other people. Cursed is the person, not who doesn't observe the Torah, but who doesn't make other people observe the Torah. Yushalmi says that a person has the ability to be mashpia on one person, then he has that chiyu, and if he doesn't, he has that aura, and if he does, he gets a borah. And if he has the ability to mashpia on 10 people, then he has achrayus for 10. And if he has the ability for 100, 1,000, a city for Klal Yisrael, then he's responsible for whatever potential he has. And if he fulfills it, he gets a special bracha, and if he doesn't fulfill it, he gets a special klala. The Sfarno, and the Mishnah and others, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yudgimu, below Yolif Ktola Chayiv. Normally, the Mephoshim explained below Yolif means a person who doesn't learn Torah is Chayiv Nisa. Says the Svarno, Misha Roy Rolamid Das is Ha'am, Biyoso Monea Bar Ktola Chayiv. A person who's able to teach other people and doesn't, he's Chayiv Nisa, Yolif. Not Leilif to learn. That below Yolif, a person who doesn't teach others, Shchayiv Nisa. Similarly, the Rabbad, in the Zos HaBrach, and the Pasuk Yoru Mishpatecho LeYakov, says, Roi Lechol Mishiyesh Lo Chelet, Me Hashleimus HaEnoshi, Shiyashlin Bozulosso, Ki Zehu Derech Hashem Yisbarech. If you've reached some Madrega in Shleimus, then you have an Achrayus to Mashlim other people. And he says, that's why Levi, the Kohanim were chosen to be Yoru Mishpatecho LeYakov because they could do it. And if they can do it, they have to do it. That is one aspect of Shleimus that everyone who wants to be involved in Kiruv, and even more important, the people who don't want to be involved in Kiruv, have to take into consideration. It doesn't mean that learning Torah has to be to go out and teach in a school, teach in a yeshiva, be a rosh yeshiva, rosh kolel, or whatever. That's not what it means. Rilmod amanasa lamed, you can do inside the yeshiva. Doesn't mean everybody has to be a teacher. And let me tell you clearly, not everybody has to be a teacher, and not everybody should be a teacher. Because not everybody is fit to be a teacher. And people who are not fit to be teachers should do something else. But everybody is qualified to be mashlim other people in some way, whether it's his own family, whether it's his kavrusa, whether it's other people in the Beis Medrash, whatever it may be. If you learn Torah, you have an achrayus to share that Torah with others, to pass it on to others, not to keep it selfishly to yourself. Second idiot. How does one fulfill this responsibility to others? So you have to be a person who has connection with others. You have to be a person who's not Polish and not Sibur. You have to be a person who feels part of a community. This world is a world where shleimus can only be reached by a team effort, by a collective effort. No one person in this world could ever be a shleim or bring shleimus to the world, not on any level. In the physical world, the world is the product of a collective effort. The Sfarno explained why every day of the Bria, the Rebbeinu Shem saw what he created, he said it was good. Vayar Elokim Kito. And on Yom HaShishi, Vayar Elokim Et Kol Asher Asa V'hine Tov Maho. The whole of what made all these individual things that were Tov Maho. They all were a lot of Tov. What's the Tov Maho? How did they become better than they were when they were created? I'll give you an example to what the Sfarno says. Take an automobile and break it down into its components. Where I come from, they do that very often. And each component has a function. You could use the horn as a musical instrument. You could use the upholstery, the seats for furniture. You could use the gas tank to store liquids. The spark plugs to light a fire. Everything has a function. And they're all good. But when you put them together and they function together to make an operating automobile, the function of the automobile is much better than the sum total of all the individual functions by themselves. So too says the Sfarno. When the world was finished and everything worked together to create a functioning society, a functioning world, that's much better, that's Tov Ma'od, better than the function of each individual thing by itself. The world can't exist unless everything works together. Nothing by itself can bring the world to shleimus. And that's on the social level also. If everybody in this world would be doctors, we'd have a very healthy planet. But who would take out the garbage? We have a very dirty planet. And if everybody was garbage collectors, we'd have a very clean planet, but not too healthy. So you need garbage collectors and doctors and lawyers. You even need people sitting on Torah. You need people to do all the different functions in this world to be able to make the world a more perfect place. No one function can ever bring the world to shleimus. And it's in the spiritual world the same way. We pride ourselves that we accepted a Torah that has tired mitzvahs, that's a shekel. Not anyone in this room could ever be Mekayim Tariq mitzvahs. Not because it's too hard, it's impossible. The certain mitzvahs are only for Kohanim. So if you're not a Kohen, you're out of the race already. So what? So tell me, so Kohanim have Tariq mitzvahs. Not true. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for Yisrael. A Kohen will never fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon Haben from the Tzad of the Av. So that mitzvah is not it. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for men. No woman could ever do those mitzvahs. And there are certain mitzvahs that are only for women. At least in my lifetime, I hope no man ever brings a carbon or lettuce. That is a woman's mitzvah. So unless you're a Kohen Levi Yisrael, man and woman wrapped up into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances was not, you can't have tarig mitzvahs. So why do we say we were makabel tarig mitzvahs? Not true. The answer is we weren't makabel the Torah as individuals. We are makabel the Torah ki ish echad v'lev echad. We are makabel the Torah as a functioning unit called Klal Yisrael. And each part of that unit has its mitzvahs. And together we have Tariq mitzvahs. That's on the spiritual plane. There is no one individual that could ever have Shleimus HaTorah. It's only a group team effort. In order for a person to to understand that and to live that. He has to be part of a tzibur. He has to feel part with everyone else. He has to be part of the team. He has to do his part, contribute his part, but understand that he needs connection with other people doing their part. That was the difference between Korach, Machloket Shelo L'Shem Shamayim, people who argue against each other. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be the one. Can't be. People have to have Machlokes L'Shem Shamayim. What's Machlokes L'Shem Shamayim? And the Erie explains, Machlokes L'Shem Shamayim is where people are not arguing against each other. They're arguing with each other. We all have the same goal. We want the truth. We'll argue it out. But I'll be as happy if you're right as you'll be as happy as if I'm right. Doesn't make a difference who wins. The idea is that we're working together towards the truth. And both of our opinions are important to reach the truth. That's Machlokes L'Shem Shamayim. That faith of the sky in both sides will persevere, will endure. But Machlokes Shelo L'Shem Shamayim is L'Shem Nitzua. Everyone wants to be the one who's right. Whether that's what's right or not makes no difference. I want to be right. Everybody wants all the covet for himself. Everybody wants to do everything himself. Korach wanted to be a Kohen God. They wanted everybody to be a Kohen God. Wasn't enough that there was one Kohen God doing his part and everybody else did their part. And everybody benefit from everybody else's part. No, everybody has to do everything themselves. Nefarashi says, what was the concern of Korach? Lotach es atmo letzad echad. He took himself off to the side, separated himself from the cloud, and looked at himself as only an individual to himself. He's thinking of darshaning the names of Korach, the Medrash does it. A name is a potential. If you use it for the good, it has good potential. Use it for the bad, then you use out that potential for the bad. And therefore a person's name can signify good things that he does or bad things that he does. And everybody has potential from previous generations. So the names of his ancestors are part of him. If he uses those qualities for the good, then you darshan from those names for the good. If he uses those qualities for the bad, you darshan from those names for the bad. And therefore the Medrash darshans the names of Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohas, Ben Levi, up to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu, none of the kolchos that Korach abused came from Yaakov Avinu. They came all the way back from Levi, not farther than that. So darshans the names in a negative way, even though by the people themselves they were positive. But how Korach used those kolchos was negative. So for him, those names were negative. So I want to mnosif a little bit and tell you perhaps a little bit different understanding of the names that reveal why people don't want to be part of a tzibur, why people don't want to be part of a community, why they don't understand their responsibility to others, what they benefit from others, and what they're responsible to give to others. First reason is Korach. Korach is Russian kereach, bald. Person who's bald feels he has nothing to contribute to the tzibur. He is bereft of any ma'aseh. He doesn't feel that he has anything to give. He has no self-esteem. I heard the speaker before me speak about self-esteem. What's the difference between self-esteem and gaiva? They are two completely different things. But let me tell you in one or two sentences what the difference is. Gaiva is feeling that you are a privileged person because you made yourself special, and that gives you rights over other people, gives you privileges. Kovod Atzmi, which the Rabbeinu Yonah says is the foundation of Avodas Hashem, if you don't feel you're important, if you don't recognize your milus, your kishlomos, your talents, your abilities, your capabilities, you think you're a nothing, then why in the world would the Rabbeinu Shem want a nothing serving him? So there's no place to start Avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings to be something, and he wants us to serve him. We must be something very special. Kovod Atzmi is recognizing that I'm really somebody special, but that gives me responsibility to function and use those special talents, abilities, and capabilities which I'm blessed with from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a responsibility to use them properly. That's Kovod Atzmi. It's not Gaiva.
It's the antithesis of Gaiva. The antithesis of Gaiva is not thinking you're a nobody. That's idiocy. It's a monoshah. Either you are an idiot and you're like a nobody. But if you think you're an idiot and you're not, then that's idiocy. So that is not an honor, that's a fool. Anivus is knowing what you are, and knowing that that gives you tremendous responsibility to contribute what you are and what you have towards the common good of everyone else. Then there's the opposite. There's people who are Yitzer. Yitzer is Shemin. It floats above everybody else. I don't want to have anything to do with the Tzibur because I'm too big for that. I don't need to have anything to do with these peasants, with these lowly people. And I am way above that. So I have nothing to contribute because why would I want to sully my hands contributing to a Tzibur that are way beneath me? And then there's Kahas. Kahas is Lashon Kihui. Kihui means something that's acidic, pungent, not chassidic, acidic, pungent, right? Something that is negative, too much critical. There are people who don't have to do with the Tzibur because they're too critical with everybody. This one's no good and that one's no good and all they see is the negatives. Everything's no good. They are experts at being mevatel everything. They are people who are professional mevatelim, professional criticizers, professional people who are mevatel who decide to negate everything around them. They're Chaveirim, they're Rebbeim, Gedolei Yisrael, they're Rebbeim Shalom. Doesn't stop anywhere. Those are extremely critical people. I'll tell you something from last week, Seder. The Sfarno asked, how can Balak said to Bilam, Ki Adati Eit Asher Tivorech Yivura, Eit Asher Tar Yur. Whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever is cursed is cursed. We never find anywhere in Chazal that Bilam had a koach of bracha. He knew when the Rebbeim Shalom got angry, he was able to direct that anger as a klala. Where do we ever find that Bilam had the power of bracha? In addition, if he did have the power of bracha, and that's what Balak thought, then why did he hire him to curse Klal Yisrael? It would be much easier to hire him to bless him. And then in the war, he would be successful. Why curse them? Bless him. Says the Sfarno, no. Everybody knew that Bilam had no power to bless anybody. He only had the power to curse. But Balak felt it would be disrespectful to Bilam to say, I know you're a negative guy who can curse people. So he added in what he knew wasn't true, I know you can bless people too, in order not to be disrespectful to Bilam. If it's disrespectful to a Bilam to be called a negative person, why do many of us think that it's a covet? The more negative you can be, the bigger person you are, right? The bigger Ben Torah you are, right? The more people you can shtach and be mevatel and whatever, that makes you a really positive Ben Torah. That's a deny for Bilam. Of course you think, somebody's not a Bilam. So that's another reason people don't have to do with the Tzibur. They're kahas. They're too acidic, too pungent, too critical. And then there's lazy. Lazy means somebody who accompanies other people. Somebody says, you know what, why should I work hard and do things that would benefit the Tzibur? If I don't do it, somebody else will do it. And then I'll benefit from what they do. I'll get a tramp on what they do. So don't be a lazy. Don't be somebody who gets a tramp on somebody else's work because you're lazy. Put in the work yourself. Those are four reasons why people don't have things to do with the Tzibur. Either they feel they have nothing to contribute. Either they feel they're too big to contribute. They feel too critical of the Tzibur. Or they feel too lazy. Based on that, I'll say another shot in a mission in Pirkei Avos. Hillel Omer al Tifros v'nat Tzibur. Hillel said you shouldn't separate yourself from the Tzibur. V'altam in v'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Don't believe in yourself till you die. V'altot neschadeichot shefagil in komo. Don't judge someone else until you reach his place. V'altomer al gavar shi'etsha l'shmoa shesofo li'shama. Don't say I'm something that can't be heard, but eventually it'll be heard. V'altomer l'ch'et ne'esh ne'eshem elosipona. Don't say when I have time I learn, because maybe you won't have time. All very nice things we have to do each other. So I was thinking that what Hillel said was the following. Hillel said one thing, don't be Polish Minat Tzibur. And then he answered four excuses that people give why they think they're justified to be Polish Minat Tzibur, and Hillel told you why they're not justified. First one,
People say, I don't want to have anything to do with the tzibur because I don't need a tzibur. Tzibur are for weak people who need a peer support group. I don't need support. I'm strong enough on my own. Comes along here and says, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Never rely on yourself as an individual until you die. You always need to be supported by a tzibur. Everyone needs it. Second reason that people say they don't need a tzibur is because a tzibur is no good. Why would I want to attach myself to that tzibur? They're a bunch of no good people. And you have to separate yourself from them. You have to be separate from people like that. It comes along here and says, maybe that's true, but don't make that decision before you have a connection to the tzibur. First, be part of the tzibur and see these people up close in their entirety. And if in fact you're right and they're all no good, then be parted from that tzibur and find another tzibur. But don't make that decision from afar, because from afar, things can look very, very bad when they're really not so bad. The third reason people don't have to do with the tzibur is, they say, well, I tried to have a connection to the tzibur, and I gave them tremendous ideas and advice, and they never listened to me. So why would I want to do with these idiots who don't listen to good advice? I'll tell my brother, Shi'ef, to Rishmoa, don't say I'm something that's impossible to hear. Maybe it's not good advice. Maybe it's really not something that should be heard. Don't say I'm something like that. Shesofel Nishamat, one day they'll realize I'm right. Maybe one day they won't realize you're right, because you're not right. So because the tzibur doesn't listen to everything you say, doesn't necessarily mean that they are in the wrong. Maybe they're right and you're wrong. Don't stand and say, whatever I say is right, and someday they'll realize it. And the last reason is, people say, you know what, if I have to do with the tzibur, it's a waste of my time. I like to learn, do mitzvahs, take care of my family, which is true. A person needs time for learning, and he needs time to take care of his family, and he needs time to do his own personal mitzvahs. But Moshe Feinstein, that's Al Paskin, but just much as a person is chayiv to give meiser of his money, he's chayiv to give meiser of his time also. And you have an achrayus to the tzibur. So a person shouldn't say, l'ksha'efne eshne, when I have time, then I will learn. I'll have time to learn. When I don't have to do with the tzibur, and I have all that extra time, I'll be able to learn. No, shemelo siponim. Maybe the Rabban Hashem won't let you benefit because you don't fulfill your responsibility to the tzibur. He'll make sure that that time, you won't benefit from it. You'll have other things to do during that time. And finally, the last component that I want to speak about is perhaps the most important of all of them. That is, if you want to be makar of anyone, if you want to be makar of yourself, you have to have the feeling that there's always room for improvement. Not to stand still and stagnate and feel that you've reached whatever madrega it is that you want to reach and there's nothing more to do. Chazal say that whenever you speak to a living person, you say, Leich l'shalom. You're always going towards shleimus. Not Leich b'shalom. That you say to someone who's dead. He's reached his level. That's it. He's not going anywhere else. But Leich l'shalom. Go towards shleimus. Because you never reached it. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bin ha'om dimo'elu. We are walkers as opposed to angels and behemoths. Behemoths were created on a level, they stay on that level. Bor ma, says the Maral. Whatever there is, that's what there is. Never changes. Malachim are created on a level, they always stay on that level, they never change. They're omdi. We're mahalchim, we're walkers, we move. This is a world of movement. Everything is moving. When things stop moving, they stop existing in physics. If the molecules, atoms, would stop their movement, they would implode on each other and they wouldn't, everything contracts as it gets slower and slower. Theoretically speaking, if something would stop moving completely, it wouldn't exist anymore. Its entire mass would disappear. Everything's in motion. This shender is not standing still. It's rotating with the earth on its axis 1,000 miles an hour. It's going in space around the sun, and the molecules and atoms are going at the speed of light inside. Not inside, that's the shender. Everything is moving. And either you're moving ahead or you're moving backwards, you're regressing. You can't stand still. Somebody once told me this world is like a down escalator that you're trying to run up. Adults would love to do that. Children do it every once in a while. If you stand still, you go down. if you put in some effort, you stand still. If you put in a lot of effort, you may get a little higher. You can't stand still in this world. If you stand still, you automatically go down. And here comes the ikkar that I want to tell you. Arashi and the Chukosai, which I have said over literally the lot of Guzma thousands of times. And I've told it over to all different kinds of groups, from raw Bali Tshuva, or even before that, to Rosh Yeshivas, Rosh Kolelim, Beis Yaakov teachers and principals, and everyone told me they can relate to it, which was a shocking to me in the beginning. But after thinking about it, I realized it applies for all of us, including myself, in some way or another. Torah says, in the Chukosai Teleichu, Sheyiyu Ameilim Batorah. And if you do, then you'll get all the brachas. The world will be perfect for you. Being low, sishmuli, shalom, you are nailing that Torah, says Rashi. In the name of Chazal, then you'll go down seven levels to kofer be'ikr. The levels are lo lomad, lo osa, mois bacherim haosin, sonia tachachonin, kofer be'mitzvus, monea cherim ilasos, kofer be'mitzvos, kofer be'ikr. What is a nailus batorah? So for a bentola, a melus batola is putting your feet in ice water and learning 22 hours without a stop. But that's not the only a melus batola. A melus batola means not having what I call status quo Judaism. You reach a certain level and that's where you stagnate. It means constantly be willing to change, grow, enhance, intensify your learning and your observance of mitzvahs. And that is one of the most difficult things. It takes a tremendous amount of effort to do that because people resist change. You like to have a nice, comfortable life without people making waves, and you're comfortable with what you did yesterday, and you want to do the same thing tomorrow. You don't want to change. You don't want to find out that what you're doing yesterday wasn't sufficient. You have to do something more. You have to change. So an Omel Batorah is a person who wants to grow, not to stagnate. And therefore, someone who doesn't grow in Torah will go down that down escalator. If he tries to stand still, down to the bargain basement, seven floors beneath the ground. Kofer be'ikr. Very frightening, but seems very unrealistic. I know people who live this status quo Judaism their whole life. And they're not kofer be'ikr. They're fine, from Shomer Shabbos Balabat. What are you going to tell me? Give them time. Next year they'll be kofer be'ikr. These people have been like this for their whole lifetime. What are you going to tell me? Okay, the next generation will be like that. I know people have been like that for three generations. Vishita. And none of them are kofer be'ikr. They're nice, firm, Shomer Shabbos Balabat. So what are you going to tell me? Deep down inside they don't believe in anything but kofer be'ikr. I find that hard to accept. So what does it mean? Let me tell you what it means, in my estimation, and it is so frighteningly realistic to everybody that I hold that everybody should frame this Rashi and put it up in their house, because this is the foundation of whether you are a Yid who is seeking shleimus or not. And if you're not seeking shleimus for yourself, you definitely aren't going to seek it for somebody else. And in order to makarif people, you have to convince them that they need to grow. They need to change. They need to make an effort to go up and not to stand still. What it means is the following. People like to resist change. They like to be comfortable. But if you know that by not changing you're doing something wrong, you feel guilty. And feeling guilty is not comfortable. So somehow, if you want to remain comfortable and not grow, you have to find a way not to feel guilty. So the Yetzer Hara, the Sultan, devised seven defense mechanisms that enable a person not to grow and at the same time not to feel guilty about it. And those are the seven levels that Rashi speaks about, and let me explain and describe them to you using the following maisa that happened. When I first became a Rav in Miami many years ago, many, many years ago, so I noticed that there were, in my shul, it was like 95% Shomer Shabbos, a few hundred families, many elderly, retired people,
who never went to yeshiva, never had a yeshiva education, but were from people, Hamish people. And I saw that they didn't know too much about Hilchos Shabbos. They were Shomer Shabbos. They didn't drive, they didn't turn their lights, they didn't answer the phones, they didn't cook. But Hilchos Shabbos, they never heard of some of the melachos of Shabbos. They never heard of Borer, right, carrying, they carry handkerchiefs, whatever. So I decided that my first project was going to give a shiur in Hilchos Shabbos between Mincha and Maariv every day for these balabatim. We learned the Chayodim, I think, and they would know, they would start to hear about Hilchos Shabbos. One day, a middle-aged professional balabos of mine, who was a Yodei Sefer, he had a yeshiva education, something like a yeshiva education, and he fell into this shiur by mistake. He had Yortzeit. He was supposed to come from Maariv, but he didn't realize that Maariv was later than he thought it was. So he walked into the shul and fell into the shiur. And he was too polite to walk out and come back, so he sat down. And we were learning at the time the halachas of Borer, which you'll excuse the pun, are very nitpicking halachas. Right? Very detailed halachas. And I see this guy with a troubled look on his face, the whole shiur. At the end of the shiur, he comes over to me and he says, Rabbi, are there really people who do all of this? Now, I was 6 months out of the kollel. I didn't think there was anybody who didn't do all of this. So we were both very surprised. Let's use this guy as an example. Here's a guy, here's a frum guy, Shomer Shabbos, but Borer, like, that's too much. You know, that's going to, he didn't keep Shabbos with Borer last week or the week before that. His father probably didn't know anything about Borer either. And he was not interested in changing his whole lifestyle, start learning about these halachas, start worrying about how he's going to eat his fish or what. He's not interested in that. I don't want to know anything about this Borer thing. I just want to keep Shabbos like I did last week, status quo, but I don't want to feel guilty. So the Yetzer Hara gave him 7 defense mechanisms. Let's start with the first one. The first one is, if you don't want to feel guilty about not changing and growing, then don't learn, not don't learn anything. You could learn Kabbalah, you could learn Medrash, Hashkofa. Just don't learn anything that smells from Hilchos Shabbos, because you may find out about this Borer thing and then you'll feel guilty. Ignorance is bliss. But the less you know about Borer, the better it is. I assume Borer is something with factories, nothing to do with my house, nothing to do with what anything an individual could possibly do. It could be Borer. Borer is for factories. And therefore I fool myself into thinking that whatever I do has no connection to Borer. I don't feel guilty about it. The less I know about it, the better it is. So I'm down to level one. Level one is lo lamad. Automatically I go down to level two. That's lo asa. If I don't know the halachas, I can't do them properly. So I have an idea there's such a thing as selecting, but it's probably, you know, putting in a lot of effort and doing things in a hard way. So in order not to be over on Borer, I go out and I buy a professional bone plucker. I like to eat fish with bones. And it's hard to pull out all those bones one by one. So I find they have this hand-operated machine that you put on the fish and it takes out the bones in one shot. It extricates the bones from the fish. So I get this bone plucker silver-plated and I engrave on it with covered Shabbos Kodesh, and every Friday night I use this to take the bones out of my fish, and I'm over in Isidioraisa, the Chol HaDeis, of the Borer with a Kli, the Psolus from the Ochel, and I'm doing it with covered Shabbos. Because I don't know too much about Borer, and this seems like the easiest way of separating the bones from the fish, which probably avoids Borer. So now I'm down to the second level. Lo lamad, lo asa. This goes on great. I feel great. I'm not guilty. I'm not listening about this Borer thing. I don't want to change anything. I assume I'm doing everything okay. So one Shabbos, my neighbor invites me to eat Friday night by him. And he's a little bit more medactic in Shabbos than I am. And he also likes to eat fish with bones. And his wife serves the fish and he sits there studying the fish. How am I going to eat this fish without being over Borer? And I watch him and I start feeling guilty, because I realize there's something to do with Borer, with fish and bones. And I don't want to know about it. And this guy makes me feel guilty. So now I have to go down to level number 3, the next defense mechanism. Moes v'acheri ma'osi. I become disgusted with people who keep mitzvahs. Not all the mitzvahs, just the ones I don't want to do. And I look at this guy and I say to myself, this is ridiculous. This guy's off the wall. This guy's a fanatic. Right? This is not normal. That's not Torah. Eat the stupid fish. Nobody sits there and studies the fish. I don't want to
don't want to be a fanatic. This is not Torah. This is fanaticism. This guy's a chniach. This guy's a black. This guy's a kitzoni. You pick the language. There's a word for a guy who's doing what you don't want to do in any language, and it demonizes him. So now I've made myself not feel guilty. I don't want to know about this studying fish, how to eat it, whatever, like this. This is not Torah. This is fanaticism. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a fanatic. I go home, get a good night's sleep, wake up in the morning, make a bracha, shalom, sani, chnyok, I feel great. And I'm already down to the third level. Look, the time comes for the rabbi's drasha. The rabbi gets up and he says, you know, I know we have many fine Shomer Shabbos people in the shul, but I've come aware that many of you don't know the basic halachas of Shabbos. For instance, Borer. I got to be a captive audience and listen to this rabbi talk about Borer. I'm going to feel guilty because I'm going to find out things I don't want to know because I don't want to change. So I can't say, well, the rabbi's a fanatic because he's my rabbi. So my conscience won't accept that. All of this is subconscious. This is not conscious. So I look at the rabbi and I know that I'm going to get a dose of guilt from listening to this rabbi if I continue listening. In good conscience, I can't say, well, I don't want to hear his Torah. So I go down to the next level. So me'asach hachomim. What does that mean? I look at the rabbi and I say, you know what? That rabbi's not a mensch. 20 years ago, he passed my grandmother in the street and he didn't say hello. But that's an animal. From a mouth like that, I wouldn't accept to listen to the Atzeret Hadibros. Not what he's going to say. It's nothing to do with what he's saying. It's the man. Can't stand that person. And if you didn't have a grandmother, then that rabbi's in it for the money. Look at the car that he drives. Or that rabbi's a schlepper. Look at the car that he drives. Makes no difference. Whatever. You can always find a way to passel the person, and then you don't have to listen to it. It's not the Torah I don't want to hear. From somebody else, yes, not from him. So I tune out, start thinking about the baseball game. I don't hear anything about Borer, and I still feel fine. So after shul, some of my friends come over to me who are more honest than I am, and they say, you know, the rabbi's right. We think we're Shomer Shabbos, but obviously there are things we don't even know about. The rabbi volunteered to give us a shiur in Hilchos Borer every Tuesday night. Want to join? Of course I don't want to join. The less I know about this Borer thing, the better it is. But I can't say, oh, you're a bunch of fanatics. They're my friends. This is my chevra. So now I go down to the next level. I prevent people from keeping the mitzvahs. Not all the mitzvahs, just the ones I don't want to do. So what if I tell my friends? I say, you know what? Kol hakavod. I'm impressed. You want to be more firm. You want to learn more. You want to keep Shabbos better. I'm impressed. But I'm warning you, this is a step in a very dangerous direction. You know why? Because it doesn't end with Borer. Today it's this chumrah, tomorrow another chumrah. I give you 2 weeks, you'll be taking a shower with a black hat on. That's how it ends up. Another 2 weeks, your wife will be wearing the tichel down past their nose. Pikuach nefesh, they won't be able to breathe. You're going to end up being fanatics. So I warn you, don't take this step in the wrong direction. It's going to end up falling off the cliff. You're going to be off the wall. I don't recognize you anymore. Look, some of them I can convince, and some of them are too honest. And they say, no, it's not true. We want to do what's right. Join us. Now I have to go down to the next level. That's called kofer b'mitzvahs. Now that sounds really harsh. It's not so harsh. Know what it means? I say to my friend, do you think that if Borer was a halacha, I wouldn't be the first one to join the shiur and learn about Borer? Of course I would. Borer is not a halacha. Borer is a chumrah, not my chumrah. Borer is just one shita. I'm sure there's another opinion. I don't know who it is, but there's always another opinion. I'm for him. Borer is just a mimic. Not my mimic. I don't have the mimic of Borer. Right? Our family never had that mimic. So you reduce the mitzvah to a chumrah, a shita, a mimic, and therefore I don't feel guilty about not doing it because not for me. I once had a balabas. I saw him park a block away from my shul on Shabbos and walk the last block. So during the week I caught him alone and I said, you probably think there's a mitzvah to walk on Shabbos. So you park a block away, so you have that mitzvah of walking to the shul. But you should know there's an issur to drive. So parking a block away doesn't take away that issur of driving. He says, no, Rabbi, you don't understand. My father parked in that place. My grandfather parked that place. Look at our family. We parked there. Go argue with Minhagim. So Bora, it's only a minute. It's only a chumba. It's only one shita. That's called kofar b'mitzvahs. No, fine. Now I'm down to level 6. That's great until somebody brings me a Mishnah Berurah, Hafachayim, Rabbi Eider in English. Everybody agrees using a professional bone plucker on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa. It's not a minig, it's not a chumra, it's not one shita. It's Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Kenyanim. Everybody holds like that. Now I'm stuck. So I only have one more level to go down to the bargain basement. And that's called kofar b'ikr. Now that really sounds harsh. Not so harsh. You know what it means? I say the following. Okay, it's a mitzvah. I can't do everything. I have a life to lead. I can't let God interfere in everything in my life. There's a limit. I do a lot of things. But you know, I can't do everything. I gotta live my life. That means that the mitzvah is not an ikr in my life. And if the mitzvah is not an ikr in my life, then the mitzvah is not an ikr in my life. Then the commander is not an ikr. That's called kofar b'ikr. I am kofar that the Rabban Hashem is an ikr in my life. And therefore, up to a point I'm willing to do, where if it gets uncomfortable, you know, God cannot interfere in my life. I have a life to lead. That's called kofar b'ikr. And a person can be a Haredi Jew 99%. But in that one area that rubs him the wrong way, where he doesn't want to improve, and for different people it's different things. Some people it's Shabbos, and some people it's sneers, and some people it's business ethics. I cheated people yesterday, I'm going to cheat them tomorrow. And I think it's okay, because you're not a cheat Goyim, right? And non-Frum Jews, they're just like Goyim, and Frum Jews could be not Frum, so they're also like Goyim. And I don't want to know anything about it. Then you can be 100% at tzaddik and a chassid, 99%, and in that 1% that you don't want to change, you have to be on one of these levels. Because otherwise you'll feel guilty, and human nature is not to feel guilty. So the Satan gave each and every one of us defense mechanisms to not change, to not improve, and not to feel guilty about it. And that's one of those 7 levels. Chazal say, and with this I will conclude, Hayu mitalmidei shel Aaron, Ohev Shalom. You have to love shleimus. Love it for yourself, and love it in other people too, to want them to be shleimus. But it's not good enough just to come to Kiruv seminars and say, yay, I'm all for it. I like shalom. You have to be a real day shalom. You have to do something about it. You have to pursue it. It's not good enough in Yiddishkeit to stand on the sidelines and say, hooray, hooray, I'm all for these things. Great ideas. I just wanted to say that's a trap. Over the essay. Zeicher tzaddik livracha. You mention a tzaddik. Give him a bracha. Do something. I like tzaddikim. Very nice. You like tzaddikim. Do something about it. Be mechazik for tzaddik. Give him a bracha. Don't stand on the sideline and say, I like the idea. Don't do anything about it. I'm trying to say that for pshat. Kol anehenem misudas chasam. A person comes to a chasana and he's nehenda misudas chasana. He likes the idea of marriage. Marriage is a great thing. I'm all for it. So fine, you're all for marriage. Do something. Be mechazik this couple. Give him simcha. No, I'm all for it, but I'm not interested in doing anything about it. It's over the hekula kolos. You missed the whole point. If you think that something is right, do something about it. Rodei shalom. Or it is habriyas. Shleimus only comes in a group effort, in an effort that is collective, a tzibur. So you have to love other people, you need them. You need them, they need you. In fact, I always want to say this, Shalom Aleichem, what does it mean? Shalom Aleichem means my shleimus depends on you. And Aleichem Shalom means, yes, you're right, your shleimus depends on me, but my shleimus depends on you too. We need each other. Oh, it's a breeze. Love all the Brias because you need them and they need you. In the Korban LaTorah, and the best way, the most intense way of giving shleimus is in the Korban LaTorah. It's bringing them to the shleimus LaTorah. That's what a person should be. And in Yitzhak Hashem, if we'll understand that and we'll bring more shalom, we'll be Talmidei Chachamim, we'll marvim shalom ba'olam, we'll reach the Tachlis of the Torah, we'll have shalom la'olam, then this man sheha emes veha shalom ehavu. Zechariah Novi says, and Shivasu B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia, and Asorah B'Teves, Yehoshu, the Sasson, the Simcha, and the Moabim Tovim, and Herav Yamein.